Dearly beloved, today we discuss the 17th lesson of the Baltimore Catechism, honoring the saints' relics and images. Does the first commandment forbid us to honor the saints in heaven? The first commandment does not forbid us to honor the saints in heaven, provided we do not give to them the honor that belongs to God alone. Only God can be worshipped, can be adored. The saints we reverence, we honor the saints, we pray to them, but we cannot and we do not adore them. Same with our Blessed Mother. We honor her, we treat her with reverence, we pray to her, but we adore only God. How do we honor the saints? We honor the saints in heaven, or rather why do we honor the saints? We honor the saints in heaven because they practiced great virtue when they were on earth, and because in honoring those who are the chosen friends of God, we honor God Himself. The saints lived very holy lives. God loves them very much. He loves His saints. And if we honor them, we are honoring God. By praying to a saint and honoring that saint, invoking that saint, we are doing honor to God because God is the one who made them saints. He gave them the grace to become saints. It's almost like if you see a beautiful painting and you say, who painted this beautiful picture? And they say, oh, so-and-so did. You say, well, this person is a tremendous artist, magnificent painting. By praising the work of art, you are in turn praising the one who painted it. And so the same way, by honoring the saints, we honor God who made them saints, and we please God, for they are His chosen friends. They are very close to God. What general classes of saints does the Church distinguish in her liturgy? In the liturgy, the Church distinguishes seven general classes of saints. First of all, apostles, the martyrs, confessors who were popes, confessors who were bishops, confessors who were not bishops. Those are all men. And then women are divided into two categories, virgins, and then women who were not virgins. So these are the seven categories of saints that we have as described in the Missal. If we are offering Mass in honor of a saint, your Missal will tell you that this saint is a virgin or a confessor, not a bishop, or a confessor bishop, or a martyr, or an apostle, etc. How can we honor the saints? We can honor the saints in any of three ways. First of all, by imitating their holy lives. And that's the most important way of honoring the saints. What really pleases them is to imitate their virtues. Secondly, we can honor them by praying to them. And thirdly, by showing respect to their relics and images, whether statues or pictures. When we pray to the saints, what do we ask them to do? When we pray to the saints, we ask them to offer their prayers to God for us. We do not pray to the saints as though they can do something of themselves. We do not pray to the saints as though they are God. We pray to them to intercede for us. It is kind of like an example that St. Louis Marie de Montfort uses in True Devotion. He says, a peasant wants to make a gift to the king, and all he has on his apple tree are worm-eaten apples, every one of them. So he picks the best apple, and he wants to give it to his sovereign as a mark of respect and veneration. What does he do? Does he walk right into the king's chamber and take this worm-eaten apple and hand it to him with his dirty clothes and his dirty hands in his poor station? No, he takes it to the queen and gives it to her, and she dresses up this apple. She cleans it and washes it and cuts away the bad part, places it on a nice, beautiful golden dish and surrounds it with something again to make it look nice and presentable, and then takes it herself to the king. And he's won over by her smile, her manner, her dress, her whole manner of presenting it to him, more so than by the object that's presented. And that's kind of the way we are. Do we want to go by ourselves to God? Here we are, poor sinners. Our prayers are like those worm-eaten apples. And by going to God directly, we do not stand the chance of being heard as easily or as surely as by praying to God through the saints. This does not mean to say that we should not pray to God directly. We should love God as our Father. We should pray to Him often. But when we pray to God through the saints, He is pleased, and we also honor the saints. We know that the saints will pray for us because they are with God and they have great love for us. Why should we pray to the saints when we can pray directly to God? Even though we can pray directly to God, we should also pray to the saints because the power of our prayers is increased when the prayers of the saints are added to them. Do we not imply that we distrust God's mercy when we pray to the saints rather than directly to Him? We certainly do not imply that we distrust God's mercy when we pray to the saints rather than to Him, but we rather imply trust in Him, since every prayer we say to the saints is directed through them to God. Every prayer is ultimately directed to God through the saints. We often ask our friends on earth to pray for us. Don't you do that? You go up to other people and say, "Please pray for me. Say a prayer for me." If we can ask other human beings who are sinners to pray for us, why not ask individuals who we know are in heaven, who were holy, whose lives were proved, whose virtues were proved by miracles that God worked on their behalf to prove that they were holy? So if we can ask our friends on earth to pray for us, how much more can we not ask friends in heaven to do the same? Why do we honor relics? We honor relics because they are the bodies of the saints or objects connected with the saints or with our Lord. By showing reverence to the relics of the saints, we are showing reverence to the saints themselves. How many classes of relics are there? There are three classes. A first-class relic is a portion of the body of one of the saints. A second-class relic is an article used by a saint, such as clothing or books. A third-class relic would be an article that was touched to a first- or second-class relic. And especially we honor the bodies of the saints. First-class relics, why? Because believing in the resurrection of the dead, we know that this relic, this portion of the body of the saint, will one day be in heaven, in the presence of God for all eternity. And certainly it deserves great honor for that reason. What relics does the church venerate most devoutly? The relics that the church venerates especially are the relics of our Lord's passion and death, such as the nails, the winding sheet, and particularly the wood of the cross. We even are permitted and should reverence the cross, a relic of the true cross, by a genuflection to show a special honor to the relic of the cross upon which Christ died for us. Do we have infallible certainty that every relic honored in the church is really a relic of the saint whose name it bears? How do we know for certain that we are safeguarded from error? That maybe this wasn't the body of part of the body of this saint. Maybe this is from the bone of someone else. There was a mistake made. That's very possible. We have no infallible certainty that every relic honored in the church is really a relic of the saint whose name it bears, especially in the case of more ancient relics. Nevertheless, the church takes great precautions to avoid mistakes in this matter. Relics are dispensed together with a certificate of authenticity, which means that a bishop or a cardinal examined the relics and saw to it that every precaution was taken to avoid fraud or to avoid error. What custom do we have in civil life similar to the veneration of relics? We have the custom of preserving and venerating the homes, the clothing, the writing, etc., of our national heroes. And this custom is similar to the veneration of relics in the Catholic Church. The custom, for example, of preserving the homes where presidents of the United States were born and lived. And these homes very often are turned into museums. People will go there, tourists will travel there to see the home, to see where a president or a great man lived, a national hero, the things that he used, and you have museums, and this is the book that so-and-so used, and this is the chair that he sat in, etc. People go to Philadelphia to sit in the chair that Thomas Jefferson sat in at the Constitutional Convention, etc. So if this can be done in civil matters, why can we not venerate the relics of the saints? Certainly no one would accuse those individuals of idolatry who go to see the objects used by a national hero. We even have in most cities of the United States a statue somewhere in the center of the city in a park or at the corner of a street, statue of a president or a national hero, in order to remind us of that individual. The same thing with the statue of the saint. The purpose of a statue is to remind us of the person represented by the statue. By seeing the statue, we are reminded of the individual who is in heaven that the statue represents, and thereby we are encouraged and reminded to pray to that person to honor that saint. The first commandment forbids the making or the use of statues and pictures only when they promote false worship. The first commandment does not forbid the making or the use of statues and pictures for the proper purpose. It is right to show respect to the statues and pictures of Christ and of the saints, just as it is right to show respect to the images of those whom we honor or love on earth. And I remember the example that was used by one priest who was accosted by a Protestant who said, "You Catholics are idolaters. You have statues and you have pictures of saints. That's forbidden by the first commandment." And the priest replied very simply to this Protestant, "Do you have a picture of your wife in your wallet?" He said, "Yes." "Do you ever kiss the picture of your wife?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, does that answer your question?" If we think about it reasonably, logically, we have pictures on our walls in our homes of grandparents, maybe great-grandparents who passed away years ago, to remind us so we don't forget about those individuals. Well, the same thing pertains to the saints. The statue or the picture is a reminder of this holy individual. Do we honor Christ and the saints when we pray before the crucifix, relics, and sacred images? We do honor Christ and the saints when we pray before the crucifix, relics, and sacred images because we honor the persons they represent. We adore Christ and venerate the saints. Do we pray to the crucifix or the images and relics of the saints? We do not pray to the crucifix or to the images and relics of the saints, but to the persons they represent. It's really very simple. And it's very important that you as Catholics are able to explain this to non-Catholics who find it so hard to understand what they call the worship of statues. We do not worship statues. Even if you see a Catholic kneeling before a side altar, a shrine, a statue of Our Blessed Mother or the Sacred Heart or one of the saints, it is because by kneeling there in front of that statue, being a human being, he is inspired to think of that person, to pray better to that person. We're human. We are affected by our senses and the knowledge, the information that comes in by our eyes and ears, etc., by our senses. And so we may kneel before a statue, before a crucifix, but we don't pray to it. It would be really foolish for someone to really believe that Catholics worldwide worshiped these individual statues. Again, it's foolish. They do not do so. Rather, they pray before the image in order to pray better to the saint who is in heaven. Finally, how should Catholics put into practice the teachings of the Church regarding sacred pictures and statues? Catholics should put into practice the teaching of the Church regarding sacred pictures and statues by having images of our Lord and of the saints in their homes. Particularly, is it advisable to have a crucifix in every bedroom? You've heard us speak before about the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. To enthrone a beautiful statue or picture of the Sacred Heart and have it in your living room or one of the main rooms of the home where guests may come into the house and see it. We should not be ashamed of our Catholic faith or afraid that visitors will see the crucifix or statues. A Catholic home should readily appear to be a Catholic home. You should be able to go into any Catholic home and right away see a holy water fountain by the door, where you can bless yourself, to see a crucifix, if possible, in every main room of the house, to see here and there, without overdoing it, to see here and there statues or pictures of our Lord, our Blessed Mother, and the saints. Let us never be ashamed of our faith. Let us practice our faith and willingly allow others to believe and to see that we are Catholics and that we love our faith. And also, let us make certain that we are always capable of explaining our faith, especially such topics as this, the proper veneration of statues, relics, and images, and why we have these and use these as Catholics. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.